You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, President Donald Trump signed his support today for the Keystone XL and Dakota Access pipelines. We'll talk about an environmental policy with an expert about that news.
First, we're not trying to start any fights here, but new research published in the Journal of Public Economics shows conservatives are seen as better looking, at least in the United States, Europe, and Australia.
What's more, voters tend to assume the better looking candidate is the conservative one. And researchers have a theory about why candidates on the right tend to be seen as more attractive.
Anna Swanson joins us now. She's a reporter with the Washington Post Wonk blog. Anna, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Anna, this does kind of sound like fighting words. Conservatives are seen as better looking, but a new study shows that it might be true. That might be the way people perceive things. Tell us more about what that study found.
That's right. Well, this was a very entertaining and fascinating study, I thought. It was actually done by researchers in Sweden, Germany, and the Czech Republic, but they looked at governments around the world, including in the U.S., Europe, and Australia. And as you described, what they found was that politicians on the right were more likely to be good-looking in all of those places. And, you know, that voters were also clued into that as well, that they used politicians' looks as a kind of cue to learn more about their ideology.
Right. In one of the parts of the study, as I understand it, they'd show pictures of a couple different candidates to voters and not identify anything about them without anything else to choose from. Right. Voters would say they'd look at the more attractive one and think that was the conservative.
Right. So they showed them photographs of political candidates in Finland, as well as U.S. candidates for Senate and governor and the Australian House of Representatives. And of course, there's a lot of variety here, you know, within the samples. There were definitely some better looking liberals and some, you know, not as attractive conservatives. But on the whole, when you compared the two groups, there was a statistically significant difference in attractiveness between the right and the left.
But isn't beauty in the eye of the beholder? I mean, isn't someone's definition of beauty going to vary from person to person?
I think that's true to some extent, but there are, you know, pretty accepted social conventions for what we find beautiful. And I thought this research was very interesting because it falls into a broader category of psychological research that looks at, you know, how people are perceived and the kind of benefits that being attractive can win people in society. And this is something that researchers have called a beauty premium. There's a really fascinating field of research about this. For example, they found that in the workplace, more attractive people tend to be promoted more. They tend to earn higher salaries. In school, more attractive people tend to be more popular, get better grades. And it can even affect something like prison sentences. More attractive people tend to get shorter prison sentences. So there does appear to be some consensus about, you know, who in our society is attractive, and those people do experience substantial benefits.
So what are some of the explanations of why the more attractive people, as defined by society, would end up being conservative politically? And I guess vice versa, why conservative
right.
people would be more attractive?
Yeah, so this is the really fascinating part of the study, I think. So their thesis is that people who are good looking are generally treated better than others. And, you know, because of these things that I described, you know, they earn higher salaries, they are more liked, they're, you know, seen as more popular. They tend to see the world as a more just place than people who are not as attractive. And the researchers suggest that, you know, being more attractive because of that tendency can lead to a lower preference for egalitarianism. So, you know, basically that's a fancy way of saying that, you know, you place less stress maybe on everybody being equal and maybe more stress on something like personal freedoms. So in the U.S. And other countries, a preference for egalitarianism tends to correlate more with leftist or more liberal policies. They have another theory, which is that you know, being more attractive can also cause you to be wealthier. And when you're wealthier, you have less preference for redistribution, which means that you might favor, you know, something like lower tax rates, for example, and less welfare spending. And so those subtle sort of psychological influences can end up influencing your personal politics.
Well, so is the flip true as well, then, that less attractive people think the world is more unjust because I guess they get treated less fairly and that leads them into this liberal political route?
The researchers don't really go into that, but I think that that is a reasonable conclusion. There is other psychological research that shows that, you know, people who aren't as attractive might face discrimination. And, you know, the flip side of that, too, I guess, is that more attractive people can have this subconscious bias attributed to them called the halo effect, where, you know, people assume that because they are attractive or beautiful, they also think that they're good or intelligent or trustworthy. So naturally, you know, the opposite side of that would be, you know, less attractive people do face certain, you know, certain challenges or hardships compared to that.
Anna Swanson is with us now. She's a reporter with the Washington Post Wonk blog, looking at some recent research on attractiveness and ideology. Some research finds that conservatives tend to be more attractive, as judged by society anyway. And Anna, you mentioned the beauty premium. People get paid more when they're seen as attractive. Is there an electoral premium? Do people get more votes? Did the research go there if they're attractive?
The researchers did find that, and that was especially true in elections where people tended to not have as much information about the candidates. So, you know, in situations where, you know, basically all you have to go on is a photo and a name, I mean, that's, you know, understandably what you're going to make your judgment on. In situations where you know more about a candidate, know more about their policies, you're probably swayed more by that. But, you know, I think both psychology and kind of popular opinion, you know, does show that people have a preference for more attractive public figures. That doesn't mean that every public figure we have is an attractive person, but it certainly influences how we think and how we vote.
So any word on if someone who identifies as, you know, a liberal or a Democrat, if they're voting between, you know, let's say in a primary race, are they also going to vote for the more attractive candidate?
So in elections where voters have a lot more information, you know, like primary elections where you have candidates that are well covered by TV news and in the newspaper, these researchers found that the appearance of politicians ended up mattering equally to voters, regardless of their party or ideology. So, I mean, in a situation like the U.S. primary, where we had all heard so much about the candidates, according to their research, the attractiveness of the candidates wouldn't have been as influential in that situation.
So more knowledge means less attention to what our candidates look like is the conclusion there, right?
That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is a good thing, I think, right? The more you know
about people
the policies,
in the media business,
the more you
anyway,
vote
yeah.
on policies.
Uh-huh. And Anna, I, for better or worse, I read the comments section after this article in the Washington Post. It got pretty nasty. What do you make of that? That people are feeling pretty riled up about this and getting into the looks game.
Yeah, well, it's an especially contentious moment in politics right now. So any article really on the Washington Post that mentions politics is probably going to have some fighting in the comments section. And, you know, obviously it is kind of a controversial finding in some way. But I think if you look at their research and at the basic idea, you know, that you know, people who are better looking and have what psychologists, you know, call benefit from what psychologists call a beauty premium, you know, they may tend to see the world as a slightly rosier place, and that could affect their policy choices. That seems like a, you know, fairly reasonable conclusion to me, despite all of the partisan fighting.
And you mentioned this is covering not just the U.S., but also a lot of Europe and Australia. Is there anything that stood out about us Americans, or are we pretty much par for the course in looking at attractiveness of our candidates?
I think we were pretty par for the course. I mean, so for part of the experiment, the researchers looked more specifically at elections in Finland. And they said that those were easier to study because races there, you know, feature a lot of candidates competing for office, whereas in the U.S. you only have two major candidates, so it's a little bit more challenging to look at the difference. But, you know, in other experiments where, you know, for example, they showed people photographs of politicians in the Senate or in the House or in other countries, the trends were fairly similar.
Anna, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Anna Swanson, reporter for the Washington Post Wonk blog. She joins us to talk about a new study published in the Journal of Public Economics that finds conservatives are seen as more attractive.
Coming up, we'll talk to an environmental expert about the news that President Donald Trump signed his support for the Keystone XL and Dakota Access pipelines. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.